Yeah, I want to tell you this story. So I don't know if you saw it. I strongly recommend, I can only say it, I don't listen to it myself every day, but there's this story, stories to inspire. They can send you daily, to get it, daily emails, short stories, two of them, from the best international speakers, including, I don't know, they're always short stories that generally about 3 to 5 minutes, you can get a daily email. I don't listen to it every day myself, but at times I do. So I don't know if it was yesterday's or the day before, it was a story which goes like this. It's told by Shlomo Fach. He says like this, that there was a Yid, a Soifer in New York. He was invited to go to a... Did you hear the story? You listen to it sometimes. It's brilliant. You should get those. It's really amazing. You listen to it?
What's the story?
Stories to inspire.
It's audio or...
Yeah, audio, yeah.
Oh, audio.
I mean...
So I'm getting a special with a taxi driver. Stories to inspire, a greater tip.
Oh, yes, definitely. Okay, that's the website. Just
it's called, and then you ask for, and then you, if you request emails, and I'll send you daily emails. I think it's in America, so I don't know what time of day they send it, but...
On the email, you mean you get access?
You get to audios.
Okay.
Right. I don't know what time they send it. it was a Yid that there was a sofa in New York, and he was asked to come to a very fancy show in New York, in upstate New York. I don't know what that means, but whatever. He goes there into that shul, which is a beautiful shul. They spent, he said, literally millions and millions to make this an extraordinarily beautiful shul. And the sofer goes and he said, listen, we're one sefer Torah only. Do you mind to check the sefer Torah? He says, sure, I'm happy to check. He opens up the sefer Torah. As soon as he opens up the sefer Torah, the sefer checks and he says, no, this is no good. You know, so he says, this sefer Torah is not in a good. And he says, can you fix it? He says, listen, if it's just about fixing one or two words, it's not a big deal. I can fix one. But I can see this is really bad. This is sefer Torah is in a, you know. He said, well, we need it because that's the only sefer Torah we've got. So the rabbi says, listen, please fix it. He says, listen, I can fix it, but I can tell you this is a full month's work. This sefer Torah is very... It's a full month away. So he says, all right, okay, whatever it is, but we've got a budget of $500. $500? That's all the budget we have. He says, I don't understand. So you're building a shul over here, you know, multi-million, beautiful, extraordinary. Just the leather on the seats was like tens of thousands, and the railings, the windows, everything beautiful, stunning. But you only have $500 for the only sefer Torah which you've got. He said, I can't help it. It's my panos. I can't check a whole sefer Torah for $500. I can't do it. So I said, that's the budget that I've given. That's all I can give. I can't. So I'm really sorry. I can't do it. So he said, I'm really sorry. I wish I could help, but I can't help you for that. He said goodbye and he went off. The sefer was a Yeshemayim. He was very bothered about it. He went home all night. He literally couldn't sleep. He was really bothered about this. But on the other hand, to go through all sefer Torah takes a month. He can't, the panos. So he called up in the morning. He called up a colleague of his and he said, I've got a mitzvah over here. It's like a mace mitzvah kind of thing. But not for the money, because the money is only symbolic. Let's share. You do half sefer Torah, I do the other half sefer Torah, and, you know, we split the $250, which is just symbolic. And like this, you know, we do the mitzvah. This, I feel bad conscience because that shul doesn't have any other shuls, and they're going to do laning every single week, and bochas about tola every single week on a sefer Torah like this. Do you want to do it? He didn't say, whatever, probably quiet. It must be quiet. So, so the story goes that he says that he went off. His friend agreed. The friend said, we'll do it. He called back the rabbi and he said, listen, I'm happy to do it, and we're going to pick up sefer Torah right now. So they went off. He said, very grateful. He went off and he did it. He picked up sefer Torah, did it for a month. It took him a lot of work, and he lost financially. He wasn't. But the mitzvah. After they completed the work, they went up to drop the sefer Torah back off. He explains to me on the motorway. Now, obviously, I don't know New York, but explain which motorway it is, which was meaningless to me. On the way back, he said they had to excuse the expression, but one of them had to be excused. And on the way back from dropping off the sefer Torah, and he said there was only one place they could quickly stop, and there was a goyish cemetery. And that's what he said, was like in front office, a front like building kind of thing. And he said, we're going to stop there, ask permission to quickly, use the... So he quickly went, well, and they asked quite a few questions. As they walked in, they asked quite a few questions. He liked like a whole investigation. What's your name, date of birth, car reg, and like the equivalent of the national insurance number. Loads and loads of questions. That's a bit off. But he said, now there's security, you know, tracing of, COVID tracing, who knows. Okay, so they went through all the questions, everything in here. Can we just quickly be excused? Yeah, came back, that was it. A month later, both of them get, but they didn't know that it was. One of them gets the sofa that we're talking about. He gets a letter from the court. He's summoned to court, and he gets summoned to court. And he goes, "Oh no, what's going on?" He said, "Did you go to that particular cemetery on that night?" They said, "Yes, it was me. What have I done? I didn't do anything wrong." And I asked permission. I didn't bother. He said, "Is you?" Then all the details. And he sees the other sofa. The other colleague was also there. He said, "Well, what were you summoned for? What's going on over here in the court?" And so, well, we've called you, the judge then says, we've called you for the following reason. On that day that you were in the cemetery, there was a goy, one of the people in there, he was buried. And he had no children. This goy who was buried, who died, he was buried. He had no children. He had a huge estate. He said, whoever's going to be coming to his funeral, who's attending his funeral, and will be coming on that day to the cemetery, will be rewarded with half his estate, which is the equivalent of $120,000, something like that. And he said, "Well, you were there. It's yours now." shared an enormous amount of money, and you know, half for you and half for you. And so obviously the message is what is. If you do something lishma, I suppose Kodesh Baruch Hu pays back. Yeah. That's I heard it from that. It's very, very good. Haboisa, we are continuing with Hilchas Chol Hamoed, Hilchas Kosev. And we're going to be discussing today the halachas of writing non-Torah writings, which is probably very much business related as well. So if your business requires some writing, which I suppose most parnassas are involving writing in some extent. We're going to be seeing today what the heter is, if there is a heter, and what it is. Additionally, I think we can pass them from today as well. It's less and less common. I think nowadays with the COVID, they've dropped it. But I remember when you used to do deliveries a year ago, you had to sign something. When you got a delivery, an Amazon delivery or whatever delivery, you often need to like sign. No, they don't. Have you noticed they've dropped that? I think no. You take whatever they don't. But I want to know if that can you sign off that kind of. You know what I'm referring to. Can you do that on Chol HaMoed, yes or no? Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tov Kuf Mem Hei, Seif Dalet, page 32. It's digitally, okay? So that would be an additional question as well. Digital, right, very good. Yeah, so let's discuss it all. Okay. Muta Lichtov Cheshboi Noi, says Shulchan Aruch in the third line, which is Seif Dalet. Muta, you're allowed to Lichtov to write Cheshboi Noi, so his Cheshboi Noi, his accounting, his bookkeeping, you're allowed to write down. And also to account for and to calculate the outgoing, the expenses. You have to write it down. And similarly, the writings that you write, when you lend money on a mashkana guarantee, and you want to add some evidence and some written form, some written record, you have to write that too. Why are you allowed all to write all this down? Why are you allowed to write? Hey, the Hitzos and the Cheshbon and the why not to do any bookkeeping on Chol HaMoed? Why?
Is this when you're dealing with
Goyim? Not necessarily.
Because it's happened to be learning this morning in Avodah Zarah, Chesed on the Base, that you're allowed to, you wouldn't normally be allowed to, but you're allowed to write up records of when you've dealt with somebody who's over in Avodah Zarah, not because.
Are you talking about Chol HaMoed? Specifically or generally?
On the
on your Edeim.
Right.
So you're saying that. Yeah. So the answer is if Kotnut Ches Mishtabur says Motelicht of Cheshbonosev to have a dover of it Shemayishkach, because we are concerned you're going to forget. Was it £12 or was it £16? Did I pay you the £250 yet or did I not? It's likely you're going to forget and therefore it's considered dover of it. Now this is unlike. So we had the Shema Yishkach yesterday. The Shema Yishkach yesterday was, you may forget what? Torah, you're learning. And there we said, you may forget you're learning, you're not to write down Torah. Shema Yishkach, perhaps you may forget, applied specifically to learning, and that was permitted. Here we have Shemo Yishkach, perhaps you may forget, leading a financial loss. And that is also considered. Tova Ovid is also permitted. I don't know which one is the bigger Chiddush, but they're both permitted. If it's not something which is Tova Ovid, also it's permitted. Unless it's a Tzorich HaMoed. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says, he adds, I'm skipping a half line over here. If you can write it in a simple writing as opposed to block and calligraphy inclined kind of letters, if it's more blocked, then it's a problem. So it should be the more simple writing. Now the Mishnah Berurah adds also in chesperis of ksuvim, if it's all written down already, rak only shiroitzel esadim, you want to sort it out, you want to kind of arrange it, you want to, how do you call it, you want to, it's all written already, but you want to file it, you want to put in a more specific way, that kind of thing, that will be also b'moed. Why is that also? If you've got it all written already, but it's messy, it's not organized. It's not the of it, because it's all written there. It's just a matter of making it more pleasant, more organized. That's awesome. So that's that. So we're talking about Dovah Ovid, if you may forget, and that's permitted. So what would that mean in terms of our contemporary questions nowadays in Shilas that may arise? But what can we learn from here? You're allowed to do. If you may forget, yeah. Never forget. Now I want to add something to it. Something you may forget. We're learning over here. Does that mean that when you write a shopping list, you're going to do some shopping, yeah? Permitted shopping for Yom Tov, you need shopping. And you're worried that you may forget what you need to buy. Does that also mean you're allowed to write it down properly? Shema Yishkach, you may forget. Pardon, the more
headed
you can make it. Yeah, the more headed you can make it, the better. So I want to tie it. You have to write shopping list? For Yom Tov? Shema Yishkach. So I want to say that you're not. I want to say you're not allowed to. Because what's the Shema Yishkach over here? What if you forget? If you forget this, what's going to happen if you forget this Cheshbon Osof? What will happen? One second, you're right. One second, but this case over here, what happens if you forget this over here? If you forget the writing over here, the £24, the £50, the £250 that you forget, what's that going to lead to? Loss, financial loss. What happens if you forget the half the shopping? As you said. Yeah, as you said. What's going to happen if you forget the shopping? Not financial loss, but another kind of issue. I really want to be medayik that the only heter of Shem Yishkach is if it leads to Dovah Ovid. In this instance of a shopping list, it's not Dovah Ovid. Torah is you call him ipninim, the pasuk says. But if you forget the croutons and you don't have the cucumbers, it's not Dovah Ovid. So you won't have the cucumbers. It's vast. You won't have the croutons. Yeah? Who is that?
Just a question. If one is allowed to work because otherwise it would be a dollar of it for you, are you then allowed to write normally?
Can you please repeat the question?
If you are allowed to work because if you did not work, it would be a dollar of it, then are you allowed to write normally?
It's a really interesting question. So I think the answer to your very interesting question is that the Mishnah Berurah says as much as you can write in irregular writing, you should do so. I would like to, following your question, I want to add something interesting. I plan to speak about it a little bit later, but let's talk about it now. When we talk about, we did mention it already previously, if you write in English, is that considered Master Oman, yes or no? Calligraphy, we will all agree. Calligraphy is my se'omen. That's going to be also. If you write simple English letter, script, is that considered Maise Omen, yes or no? No Maise Omen, why not? Kids can do it. Is it Maise Omen or not? I will tell you the argument that it is considered a Maase Omen. I'll tell you the argument that it is a Maase Omen. The argument that it is a Maase Omen is that how many years do schools generally spend on teaching our kids to be able to write cohesive and correct? Forget about correct. Forget about the spellings. Just the writing, the tzuras ha'osius, the shapes of the letters, whether it's the English, the Latin letters, or whether it's the Lashon HaKodesh letters, we spend years. We generally start, you know, early years, and it goes all the way up to approximately year 5, and then the grammar schools complain that the boys still can't write neatly. We spend years and years and years and years spending koiches and time and hours for children to be able to write letters legibly. So you could argue, and I think it's a very solid argument, that it is a Maase Omen. Happens to be that nowadays, 2021, Tavshin Pei Aleph, we live in a generation, we live contemporary times, we live in a world that the occasional establishment has managed to pull off that everybody's able to do that Maase Omen. So it's not something like walking. Walking, children, as they mature, as they grow up, they naturally learn how to walk. Children, babies, naturally learn how to crawl. Unlike and as opposed to writing, which they're not naturally going to learn. One could therefore argue, and I think it's a very strong argument, that it is a Maase Omen. Brad, what do you say about that?
So I don't like that because if 99% of the world's population know how to write, then by definition, how can that be a Maase Omen? Because then everybody is an Omen.
Yeah, so according to that understanding, it would be true. First, by the way, I don't think, I have learned social, the demographics, and I don't know, but I'd be very surprised if it really is true that 99% of the population know how to write. Not sure. You're right, if you include the African continents, and
yeah.
All right, okay, so whatever it may be. But the argument would be, yes, indeed, it's something which nowadays, that argument, that understanding would argue that, yeah, it is something which has become a mass moment that everybody has become experts now. But I do hear your understanding as well. But if, so many hold that the way you rewrite nowadays the English, they certainly, many Achronim hold that the way you write is not considered a Maase Omen, because it's not block, it's more script kind of writing.
This whole thing, I must admit, it seems that omnis is more defined as a skill that certain people can do and other people can't.
So therefore you'd hold that the writing that we do then is considered a... It's mass-headed. Right, okay. If that's the case, if we look at it as a mass-headed, then I think that many will agree with that. So if we look at it as a Maase Hedyot, then very much leading from your question, Brad, then the answer is yes. It's a Dover of it. And if the way you write is anyway not considered a perfect writing, it's considered a Maase Hedyot writing, which would be permitted. Right, okay, now, calligraphy is certainly considered, Maase Omen. I want to carry on. Sif hey, Mutter Lichtoiv, Shtar Kedushin, these are kiddushin. If somebody does get married, you'll have to write a shtar kiddushin. So that's a ksuva. Shtar psikta, that is a detnoim. You know, when both sides commit to, by the engagement, both sides commit to their commitments. Chosn side, kalas side. Gitin, v'shoivin, these are get. Somebody needs a get that can also be written on chalamot. V'shoivin is a receipt, financial receipt. That money was received already. Top of the page, Taitke is a will over Shchiv Mera. Somebody is about to Cholila Barminon. That's right, the will. Matono is his present. If you want to formalize your present, you have to write this down as well. A bit of obeid. Puzmelin is a Shmita agreement. Igo Shumbi Igo Mozo. He explains Per Shita Epsikta. Shadon Posik Losses Livnoi. Person decides that inherits to his son, Oilevito, to his daughter, kach v'kach, so and so much. The person knows, you know, my time's come, and I want to pass on that amount. This account goes to that son, and that company goes to that son, and that estate goes to that son. So if a person is writing it all out, all his possessions and estates and finances, that can be done on Chol HaMoed too. Pesh Da'atzke, what's Da'atzke? Shtat Savor, that's also will. Dohar Tehei Lemekes V'Lioiz, it's the Aramaic word and short version of Dohar Tehei, this should be Lemekem, established V'Lioiz, and should be. That's where the word Da'atzke comes from. Perish Proiz Boil, what is that? Proiz Boil of a Boil, Tekloima, Takonas Amalve, it's the Takona, a decree of a Malve, of a lending party, Sholi Abed Memone shouldn't lose his money, and that also helps somebody who wants to borrow money, that you can find somebody who's actually going to lend him money. What is that? Shoshomu Bezdin, they evaluated Nichse Loive, the estate and the processions and the properties, Menoston and Malvinigim. So it's a what's called?
Evaluation,
that's exactly it. Vigas Mozen, Shemachu Bezdin is a Kakala Mozen, Ishva Bonois. If the estate was sold by the Bezdin on behalf of the woman and the children and the daughters, because the Maisa Bezdin Alzani was written and formalized. All these, how should we call them in one word? They're formalized, how should we call it?
Documentation.
Yeah, documentation, that's it. Formal documentations. They can be done and written on Chol HaMoed. Inami Mishikibdol of Rosin is Bas Ishto. Ishtoi Chalitza, Shitri Chalitza, Ashtar Chalitza. He's also permitted to be with somebody that performs a Chalitza in Chol HaMoed. You're not to write it down. I will mention, I can't hold myself back, because Ashtar Chalitza is not mentioned so often in Shulchan Aruch. I am in possession of Ashtar Chalitza. It's a very, very, very rare document. And I've got one because my grandmother went and had to do Chalitza after the war. So I may have mentioned it. What? Yeah, what's the story? Yeah, wow! It's a very rare document. It's a very, very special document. Yeah. When a husband dies without children, then the woman has to really undergo yibum. Nowadays we don't do yibum. Instead of that, we do chalitza. So she has to go to her brother-in-law and do a chalitza. That is documented in a shtar chalitza. There was many chalitzas after the war. 1946, 1947, there was an unprecedented amount of chalitza which was done. There was a special bezdin which served for that particular purpose. Shtar chalitza, that can be done on Chol HaMoed. Mune, a miun, which is a young girl who decides not to continue in her marriage. So, a shitre berun and a shtar berun, v'piskedinim. Again, all these are formal documentations which have financial implications. All those may be written on Chol HaMoed. Umutalichtoif, ksuva b'moed. And a ksuva may be written on Chol HaMoed. Two Vish Oisin some, however, disagree about the ksuva bit. Why ksuva yes, why ksuva not? Yeah, ksuva is a bit dodgy.
Are we talking about where the ksuva got lost?
No.
You
mean a lost ksuva?
The original one. They're still married, but the original one got lost. Is that what we're talking?
Yeah. I didn't learn like that, but you're probably right. You may be talking about that as well. It's a dovah of it because people may end up.
That not be an absolute chiyuv because it'd be also for them to live together.
Yeah, you're right. So it's probably not talking about. You're right. Of course, you're right. So it must be talking about not a married couple, rather a new ksuva, and that is a machlokes about. You're right, of course. Yes, it's writing it for the Mishnah Berurah says. It's somebody that got married just before Yom Tov, because indeed, ein noisin noshim b'moed. Then Shulchan Aruch continues on a very controversial one: ve'ikas shel hashalom v'shadam shelach lechaveiro, a letter that a person wants to write to his friend, may be written on Chol HaMoed. Even a non-business kind of matter. Why would you like to write a letter? Social letter? Postcard? admittedly, he adds cholkim who disagree and forbid it. V'yesh oisim b'shel ha'shalem. V'na'agul ha'achmir, afilu b'ksiv ha'shalonu sh'iksiv ha'shita. And many are stringent. But there is an opinion that holds that you're now to write a normal social letter. And the minhag is to be stringent, but some people are lenient. What's the tzad to be matir? So the Mishnah says in Kotel Lamed, the reason why you may be allowed to write the letter is as follows. The reason is, some people don't care about the way they write the letter. It's not neat. When it comes to... Yeah, if the comparison is correct, we're going to be a little bit stuck because the Maase says that the minhag is to be machmir on letters. He says, "Can Maase hedge you to?"
Would it be the equivalent of writing a text message these days?
So I want to get to that, but we'll speak about that tomorrow, Mitchem, about digital letters. We'll talk about that tomorrow. So that's that. So Abayi Sai, what we learned this evening is that the bookkeeping and the writing, whenever there's a financial implication, you'll have to write it down because Dova Obed. You may forget, maybe Dova Obed. With regard to any letter, like any documents, Kiddushin, Tznoim, etc., anything that's got financial implication, maybe written as well. We spoke about Iger Sholom, which is a bit of a machloikas, lemaisa, the meaning is machmi, even in whichever way you actually write. Tomorrow, I want to talk about two things. Tomorrow, I want to write about the digital aspect, if you write on text messages or emails, etc., I want to talk about that, as well as little children drawing, which is their pleasure. Can you allow, or do you have to stop, young children drawing and coloring on Chol HaMoed? That will be a question I want to discuss tomorrow. I wish you a very good evening.